Our guest in our next half hour will say that the budget repair bill that is currently in the state legislature is an effort to weaken unions for the political benefit of the Republican Party. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 22nd. And we will wonder if you agree or not with a guest who says this isn't about the budget. This is about political power. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guest. David Madland is director of the American Worker Project at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. Well, we did just hear in state news that you're not alone in saying that this bill is about power and not about the budget. But why do you say this isn't going to help Wisconsin's budget situation necessarily, that this isn't about our budget?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons I say that. The context is that the unions have already said they will take concessions on wages and benefits, exactly what the governor is claiming to be demanding, and that's what he thinks would solve the budget problem. So they've already said that. That's off the table, and yet the governor is still insisting on passing a bill that would eliminate workers' right to collect, public sector workers' right to collectively bargain. That just means that they can negotiate together on relatively equal footing with their employers, and that's a process that can be used in good times to, divide up gains and make sure workers get a good fare and good shake. And then in bad times, it's a way to take hits, and that's what's been gone on for the past 50 years. That's how things in Wisconsin have gone. When times are good, workers do a little bit better. When times are bad, workers do a little bit worse. And that's what the collective bargaining process is about. But it's not about the budget. You know, as I said, the workers already agreed to take the concessions. The budget problems are because of the recession. You know, everyone knows that the recession was caused by Wall Street's reckless speculation. That's caused the housing bubble to implode. State revenues are down about 10 or 12% across the country. That's why we have budget shortfalls, not because public sector employees were negotiating for crazy wages or benefits. You know, there's some problems, and we can make some tweaks there, but that's not fundamentally what's going on. Yeah. If you look at across the country, Wisconsin actually has a relatively small budget shortfall compared to many other states, and states that have basically very weak public sector unions, like Texas, have some of the worst budget shortfalls. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. the setting. And the last thing I want to just sort of make sure to get in at the beginning is, the governor has passed several tax cut bills that significantly contributed to the budget problems. So it's really about power in his agenda.
Well, why is this going to strengthen the Republican Party?
For a number of reasons. The first is that workers, when they join together, tend to support progressive policies, support things like increasing the minimum wage or even Social Security. That's sort of been the history. They also tend to give more money to the Democratic Party, so there's both an ideological and a political component going on. And if you look at basically every state where Republicans are in power right now, they are attempting to do very similar things as Governor Walker. They are attempting to eliminate public sector workers' rights to collectively bargain. In Ohio, Indiana, Idaho, Tennessee, Nebraska, Florida, Michigan, basically anywhere Republicans are having power, they're doing the exact same thing. Because over the past 30 years, as we know, private sector unionization has declined significantly, in large part because employers have gone after workers to the degree that every 18 seconds a worker is illegally fired or disciplined for trying to exercise a basic right, so that it's very hard to join a union. Now, and that has crippled the progressive movement. The Republicans are seeing this moment where there are real budget problems and real public anger. I mean, the public is incredibly upset at basically everyone, including government, including business, and including government employees. But government employees really had nothing to do with all of the budget problems. They're just being scapegoated.
What do you say about the argument that some make that public sector workers don't really need a union because their employer is the state?
Well, you know, to start up, some states are good employers, some states are not. You know, the one of the stories that sort of Martin Luther King was assassinated when he was in Memphis with the workers, the public sector sanitation workers, who were striking for the basic right to bargain collectively with their employer because they were treated incredibly terribly. They were subject to arbitrary dismissals. They were subject. So state employers can be good or bad, just like private sector employers. That's one key thing. The second thing is that it's a basic right to be able to join together with your fellow employees and negotiate on relatively equal footing. Government, corporations can have too much power, and it makes it hard for an individual, just as governments can have too much power. And that's why when workers join together, they just are providing a check and balance. That's sort of the essence of how the American government system works, is instead of taking away power from individuals, we make sure that there are power is distributed, that one set of power can check another. And if you don't have the ability to join together with your fellow workers, you really have very, very limited power.
What about the argument that Governor Walker has made and others that he's not busting the union? He is limiting collective bargaining rights, but not busting the union.
They're one and the same. The reason you join in a union is so that you can come together with your fellow employees to negotiate. That's the whole point. You don't join a union just because you like to talk to your buddies. You join because you think you will have a better ability to negotiate. That's the essence. The essence of joining a union is the right to collectively bargain.
Mm-hmm. What's your reaction to the reaction to this bill and the protests that I presume you've been following in Wisconsin?
I've been following very closely. You know, what's happening in Wisconsin is profoundly scary because the governor is attempting to punish a political opponent and further weaken the ability of workers and to negotiate. And that is likely to spread throughout every state that Republicans are in power. As I said, you know, there's tons of states that are already doing this, but if it can happen in Wisconsin where public sector employees are relatively powerful, it can happen anywhere. So it's very scary that you're potentially going to dramatically weaken an already weakened labor movement, which is about all there is that fights for the middle class in America. So that's deeply scary, but it's also profoundly hopeful. Really, you know, tens of thousands of ordinary citizens, yes, public sector workers, but also students, retirees, homemakers, and private sector workers have also recognized what this is a power grab by the governor, and that is unjustified. And so there's profound hope that Wisconsin actually could lead the way here and ensure that all workers have public sector workers have basic rights and are able to continue to exercise them. The hope is, so Wisconsin was actually the first state to grant state employees the rights to collectively bargain about 50 years ago. So that's really, there's really profound hope here as well. And we're following closely. As Wisconsin goes, the rest of the country really is likely to go.
Indeed. I thought I heard that in Ohio today and perhaps even in New Jersey today, similar proposals are going to be introduced.
Well, as I said, every Ohio, Indiana, Idaho, Tennessee, Nebraska, Florida, Michigan, just to name a few, Republicans have already introduced basically very similar proposals to eliminate workers' rights to collectively bargain, claiming that it's about the budget. Yet we're also starting to see a little bit, far less than Wisconsin, the workers and their supporters starting to organize and call these attacks for what they are, just scapegoating workers for problems that they had nothing to do with in an attempt to weaken a political opponent. Now, one more thing about the political opponent point. As you probably know, Governor Walker has exempted the few unions that supported him from this legislation. If really collective bargaining was such an awful thing, why is he allowing, you know, the public, the police and firefighters who supported him to be exempted?
Yeah, he says for public safety reasons.
Yes.
Let me take a quick break, and we have many callers who want to weigh in on this. We are talking with David Madland. He is director of the American Worker Project at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He says that this attempt by Governor Walker in Wisconsin to limit collective bargaining rights of public employees is an effort to weaken a political opponent and not being done for budgetary reasons. We welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, it is going to be partly to mostly cloudy. We can expect highs between 25 and 30 degrees. Right now, Madison cloudy and 16, Milwaukee snow showers and 21. Wausau is sunny and 7. In Superior, it's partly cloudy and 7. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 22nd. We are talking with a guest who says that the budget repair bill in Wisconsin is not about the budget. The effort to restrict collective bargaining rights of public sector employees is an effort to weaken unions for the benefit of the Republican Party. We will take your calls now, and our first caller is Linda in Monroe. Hello, Linda.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, David. Now, I agree that the governor is out to get rid of the unions. In fact, I feel we should have unions worldwide. They're that good. Now, while he wants to cut the funding for public broadcasting, I've heard the best solution to the whole problem was Mike Huggins, the city manager from Eau Claire this morning. And I think if they want to find a solution, all the legislators should call their mayors and city managers and town officials in the areas that they represent, because we don't want a shutdown of our state or local government, because there should be a compromise like Mike Huggins proposed.
Well, I don't know if he proposed a compromise, Linda. The Eau Claire City Council went on record against these changes in collective bargaining rights asked the legislature. I guess the compromise was asking the legislature to remove the collective bargaining language. How do you see this thing working out, David Madland?
I really don't know. That's why all eyes are on Wisconsin, because, you know, as I said, this is very scary, but it's also hopeful. And there is a potential for compromise, at least from my vantage point. The public sector workers have said they'll compromise. They'll take hits on wages and benefits, and they already have. That's, I guess, already also key to understanding, is that, you know, about 400,000 state and local government jobs across the country have been eliminated since 2008. And most every state employee has taken hits. They've had unpaid furlough days. So people are already taking hits, and they're willing to take more. That's the essence of collective bargaining, is you take a hit when times are bad. They're willing to do that. So I think there is potential, but unfortunately, it seems the governor is really insisting on a power play. He sees an opportunity to cripple a political opponent, and he is seizing the moment. He has a majority that can get this passed. He has, you know, Republicans control all the legislative bodies. So he sees a moment to go for it. Really don't know how this is going to work out.
And Linda also was referring to, I almost forgot, that the Eau Claire city manager said that Eau Claire was working on some sort of letter that all local government officials could sign on to if they cared to object to the changes in collective bargaining in this budget repair bill. But as you say, the governor has said no to various other compromises. He has also said that he's not really impressed with the tens of thousands of protesters at the state capitol, saying that he has to listen to the voices of 5.5 million taxpayers. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, of course he's right that his job is to is to represent the best interests of the state. Unfortunately, he's not doing that. He's advancing a political agenda. The best interests of the state are to get a deal that balances the budget and lets the state continue to operate. That's on the table. He could have that today if he wanted it. So he's got to look out for the best interests of the state. He could do that today.
Yeah, you know, he did say specifically to the concessions already made by some of the larger public sector unions that that's not good enough just to have that word. There are thousands of these bargaining units around the state, and just because some say they'll give into these increased benefit payments, and that doesn't mean all public sector unions will.
That's potentially true, but I think if you wanted to, you could get almost all of them on board really quickly. That, you know, I don't think that's not the stumbling block. The most of the costs are in the bigger unions contracts. But even there, and that's I guess one other key thing to understanding this scale of problem, is that in public employee compensation is a little bit over a third of the budget. That's not the whole, but, you know, there's plenty of other things to be thinking about cutting, too. So that's one sense of the scale. And to really be targeting public sector employees for all of the hits is misguided. Yeah, you could get the big unions on, and which are already there. You could probably get most of the small ones real quick. And if a few don't, then you can play harder ball tactics if you need to, or let them negotiate on their terms, but he could cut a deal that would get the budget in order right now, and there's very little doubt about that.
Stacy in Eau Claire joins us now. Hello, Stacy.
Yes, hi. I just have a basic question. I'm not very political, so I'm trying to get an opinion in my mind on this. I'm just wondering, why do public sector employees need to have collective bargaining rights versus regular employees like myself, who I don't work for the state, so I don't have those rights. So what's the difference there?
Well, so private sector workers do have the rights to collectively bargain. You might not be in a union, so it's hard to exercise that right if you don't have a union. Private sector workers have this right. The governor is trying to take this right away from public sector workers. And the reason that's important is it's just what collective bargaining means is it's just negotiating on relatively equal terms. So all your fellow employees come together, your coworkers come together, and you choose to negotiate for a certain set of wages and benefits with your employer. That helps you have relatively equal footing and power with your employer, so you can have a better wages and benefits. That's the whole point. And as I said, also when times are bad, that helps you. You take a hit, but it's a fair hit.
Let me ask you, David, to respond to the sentiment that we hear on this program and out there from citizens like our last caller. There is, in some cases, a resentment. I you know, pay a lot for my health insurance and into my 401k, and it's my taxpayer dollar that is paying for these public employees, and there's a resentment, and that seems to be fueling some of this.
Oh, absolutely. There is huge resentment right now and anger, as you know, as I was talking about at the beginning. There's tremendous anger in the public against sort of everyone, and that's against government, against public sector employees, against corporations. There is tremendous anger because the economy is in terrible shape, and this is sort of historically what always happens, is that the public looks for someone to blame at this time. Unfortunately, the Republican Party is really seeking to scapegoat public sector workers who really, you know, as we said, didn't cause Wall Street to tank and do stupid things. So, but then let's also get to the specifics of their compensation. You know, you can always find an isolated example, and the other side often will throw out some, you know, crazy pension that was way too generous. And you can always find an isolated example of a problem. But overall, Wisconsin public sector employees make about 5% less than private sector counterparts when you control for their education and experience, and that includes their pension benefits, their health benefits, their wages. Yeah. Now, what public sector employees tend to get is they tend to get lower wages but slightly better with better benefits, so health and retirement. So then when you look at the example and you say, wow, this person didn't have to contribute much to this, you know, pension or health care, you're ignoring that they're getting significantly lower wages. The way you divide up a compensation package between wages and benefits, well, that's just something to negotiate over. And maybe the pension benefits for some, that seems, you know, unnecessary. But just to go a little further, oftentimes the pension benefits, you know, are bigger than the private sector because public sector workers do things like, you know, they're police or firefighters. They're rescuing people out of a building. They need to be able to retire at a young age because that's not the kind of job you can continue to do when you're older. So you're right, there's resentment, but unfortunately it's oftentimes misplaced and is really being used for political gain.
We have just a minute to go. How important is it for labor for this fight to be won in Wisconsin?
Deeply. It's not just organized labor that this is important. This is important for all citizens because this is a basic right that is at stake here. And as Wisconsin goes, so will go the country. The labor movement has been really dramatically weakened over the past 30 years as private sector companies have felt that they can be more and more aggressive and more challenge basic workers' basic rights to organize and collectively bargain. Wisconsin is setting the stage for a similar attack on public sector workers. So there will be very little union movement, very little basic democracy. This is a check on the power of the state.
Thank you very much for being with us. Another perspective after the news.